welcome to another episode of the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on Saturday's defeat at Falkirk and we'll preview this Saturday's trip to Montrose. I'm Colin Byers and with me as ever is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you doing?
Not bad, thanks Colin. Yourself?
I'm not too bad. Another week bye week. Middle of August already, just about it.
I know, the year's fairly flown by considering we spent half of it in a lockdown, but yeah, the dreaded C word I mentioned before, not too long.
Would that be now?
We'll say the Christmas, the festive cheer and all that, yeah, whenever long before that's mentioned and things out in the shops.
Well, we'll actually get a festive cheer this year as opposed to what we got last year, so we should maybe embrace it a bit more this year than we did last year.
Yeah, true, but we'll do that in December rather than in the middle of October.
Right, let's just get into it then. So Saturday's game against Falkirk, we knew it was going to be difficult. Always a difficult place to go to get a result. Overall, I think maybe we'll probably come away with there thinking that we maybe could have done a wee bit more than what we did on the day.
Yeah, frustrating. Went into it full of confidence. Said last week that I felt like we started well, that we could get something for the game. Thankfully, in previous times before that we've conceded quite early, thankfully this time we didn't. But we never really seemed to get going. I don't know whether it was just showing too much respect or what, but just never really seemed to get out of first gear, and that allowed Falkirk to come on to us as a half progress, especially in the first half. And yeah, we sort of came undone by a really good Falkirk goal to start the game.
I was going to say, is it a case of maybe going down there, not with a fear, but is there almost a kind of thinking, well, we need to try and be in the game after 20 minutes, 25 minutes, 30 minutes, so let's not make a mistake, so therefore it actually works on the opposite, rather than just going down there and doing what they did against Alloa, you know, pressurise them and dictate the play. Whereas it seems to be a case of we're trying to stay within the game, and then, as I said, it kind of has the opposite effect.
Yeah, I'd probably agree, actually. Where maybe one of them games you're worrying too much about not making a mistake, that you're overthinking things and you didn't play your own natural game. So that probably hindered us a wee bit. Again, it's maybe, I wouldn't say we showed them too much respect, but to me it was one of them games where we've nothing to lose. You know, all the bookies were backing a home win, weren't really giving us much hope. Probably everybody outside the club would have been thinking, you know, a strickling flat, a Falkirk win. So again, maybe one of them could maybe have given it a better go, but at the same time, as you said, you maybe want to try and work your way in the game, 20 minutes, 25, 30. But we maybe just sort of hindered ourselves in the fact that we've worried too much about not making a mistake and sort of overcompensated for it.
Just the one change from that win against Alloa, Jason Brown came back into the team. I guess Jason was always going to come in. It was just a case of who was going to come out. A bit surprised it was Lyle Cameron that came out, though, for me.
Potentially, I'm not overly surprised. I thought he was quiet the week before against Alloa. We mentioned that Hamish and Lyle were both a wee bit off the boil, only in terms of their high standards that they've set. But on the flip side of it, on his day, Lyle Cameron is one of our better players, and you need that creativity. We weren't going to get many chances, I'd assume, against Falkirk before the match. We didn't get, as it turned out, I think we only had three or four shots in target in the hell 90. So, yeah, there maybe is an argument to say he could have started, but hindsight's a great thing. But when I seen the line on, I seen it was Lyle who was dropped, wasn't overly surprised given the slightly below par performance the week before.
Surprised that McCarthy stayed at right back, but Mulligan moved into midfield?
Yes, I think that was my bigger surprise. I genuinely thought that Mulligan would have gone to right back and put McCarthy into centre mid. But as Jim has said before, McCarthy is quite willing to play right back, and it's a position that he's getting better and stronger at. But to me, there's a time and a place to play potentially square pegs and round holes, and I think Mulligan at right back and McCarthy in centre mid for that game away at Falkirk would have been a more balanced approach. But obviously, Jim sees him in training as well. You know, he's the best man place for it.
I think it's one of those kind of games as well for you miss McCarthy's sort of energy and work rate in the midfield. You know you're not going to get a lot of the ball, So having midfield alongside Ferry and Scott Brown maybe would have made the difference in there. As you said, hindsight's a great thing. We could all talk a good game, but I just felt that when I seen the lineup, I just felt like, okay, so McCarthy's going to move back at midfield and Mulligan's going to play it right back, but it didn't turn out that way. And I just think it maybe that was, we missed a trick there slightly.
Yeah, I like you said, for now, I've seen Lyle drop to the team, then I actually seen the team line up. To me, like you, it was Mulligan at right back, McCarthy in midfield. And then the teams came out and you seen the way they'd started off, and you thought, well, it's maybe just a little game of poker. Jim's got to try and, you know, make it seem like McCarthy's at right back, because that's obviously what we played the week before, maybe trying a wee bit of mind games. But no, he stayed there the whole game. Yeah, a little bit surprised that he decided to change it, because McCarthy, as you said, he's better in midfield. That's what he's natural at, and his work rate. You certainly lose that when he's at right back.
I did have a split second thought that he might be playing back five with Mulligan and McDonald and Brown as a three, and then Conroy and McCarthy as wing backs. But fortunately, that it wasn't that, and it was just his 4-4-2 diamond that he was playing, but just how we thought it might have been.
I never actually give it much consideration. It would be a five. I think last, getting even to the start of the season, he doesn't play with a five. But if he was going to go to a five, that would have probably been the game to do it. But again, that's going back to maybe what we were last season, trying to be too conservative, too rigid, and trying to work in the game rather than, as we said last week, going attacking teams. It was one of them games, again, I feel it was a free hit almost. If you lose 3-4 or 5-0, then you're almost expected to, given the golf in class. But given how we played against Falkirk, I know there's a lot of personal changes in both teams. The manager changed for Falkirk. Just felt that we could maybe have given it a better go than what we actually did.
You mentioned the opening goal, McGuffrey's goal, which I've seen so many times now. It is a good goal. I mean, it's a good team goal. But I think it goes back to what you were saying about too much respect. I think the fact that the pressing wasn't there, we kind of allowed them too much time on the ball, too much space, and ended up that it was a good ball in, as you'd expect for Morrison, I think it was. But I just think we could have done a wee bit more in terms of the defending and closing them down.
Yeah, so as you said to start, it's a good team goal from a Falkirk point of view, but I think if you were looking through it individually, I think there's quite a lack of pressing, which that frustrates me as well, because last week, you know, I was fully praising it, the work rate, the Naya Payne and McLean up front. They set the tone of the game within 6 seconds against Alouette, put it in with a strong challenge. And the Falkirk goal, could be wrong, must have been at 15, 20 passes. It's game for the right side to the left side, and the forward's back, and it's come down again. It's frustrating. I think the closest person would have been Simon Ferry trying to make a challenge. Again, he's still 3-4 yards away to try and block the cross. And even more frustrating, it's almost a free header as well. In the box, I think afterwards McCarthy and Brown are sort of arguing over who's picking up the man and that. So, yeah, frustration all round. But it was a good goal, but there's just so many things that I feel we could have done better to prevent it happening.
Is that maybe a situation for McCarthy's lack of experience at right back? Because he's more worried about the man behind him. Well, he's sort of 15 yards away for the goal. I know he's inside the box, but if he follows the man into the 6-yard box, he doesn't give them that free header. And obviously, if it then goes over their heads, he can then track back and get the guy who's free. But he's then able to close his angle, Dean. I just think it maybe, again, we're talking about somebody who doesn't play, he hasn't been playing there a lot. He did play a couple of times, but it's just that lack of experience that maybe had a defender been playing there, even if he stuck in Danny Strachan into that game, at least he would have been able to kind of read the situation a bit better, maybe.
100%. If you look back at the highlights, it just shows probably, as you said, the lack of experience playing at right back. Being Andy's an experienced player, but they in that position. I also feel like if he's followed the man that scored, he's allowed it to go over his head. The angle is a lot less. If he's got to take a shot, you'd fancy Brett Long also to save it as well. And again, McCarthy and Brown can move across as a pairing. Like I said, it's frustrating all round, because it's one of them goals that you look back on and you think, well, there's probably four or five things we could have done different. It's not a wonder strike. It's not, you know, Barcelona-style play, but it's got them this fantastic goal. It's just good for their point of view, and you know, I've seen on their social media they've raved about it quite right, but from their point of view it's frustrating and disappointing.
But at the end of the day, it was just a ball lumped into the box. Kind of, if it had been like 15, 16 passes and then a little through bar and then he can slide it in for about 12 yards, then fair enough. But at the end of the day, it was just a ball lumped into the box.
When you break it down in simple terms, it's nice pass and play, but effectively it just says a cross outside the box.
Aye.
And Simon Ferry's about 4, 5, 6 yards away. Kind of blocking. It's a free header, and it's poor defensive, poor positional play for McCarthy. And you break it down in isolation. I go back to that. It's frustrating because I feel we could have done a lot there in the game, and that's one of them goals that you kind of get like to fall in this division, that goal lead, and expect to get anything from it.
There wasn't really much. I mean, to be perfectly fair, it wasn't a great game in the long run. But Brett Long again, he started in goals and for kind of large spells of the first half and the second half as well. Kind of kept the score in doing as well, and it had a couple of good saves as well, which again kind of backs up what you were saying last week in terms of maybe why he was picked over Lenny Wilson.
Yeah, I think the scoreline could have been probably looking at, you know, 4 or 5 if Brett Long had pulled off some of the saves he had. Again, it's only one game, you know, the first three of the season, but some of the defence, their positioning and their you know, how they play as a unit, I think maybe still needs a wee bit of tweaking, a wee bit of working on, because I felt Brett was exposed once or twice more than he'd have liked. But again, Falkirk's a decent side, but you've got to help your goalkeeper out, and had it maybe for Brett, I think it could have been on the receiving end of a heavy result.
And their second goal again come from this time it's a corner, second ball, third ball, whatever you want to call it. I guess it was fortunate to land at Dixon's feet. The sort of long range effort for the edge of the box was completely mishit. So we might praise the first goal, how good it was, how well worked it was. The second one was completely the opposite. And it just fell to Dixon, and I don't suppose Dixon's going to hit a better ball like that for the rest of the season.
It's one of them you're probably quite happy that it fell to Dixon on the left foot. With all due respect, you know if Dixon's got to take a shot, yeah, go for it. Yeah, he's hit a pretty sweet into him. He's put it past. But again, just that he's taken a touch and then he's hit it again. What we speak about, he could be closing down, just be that little bit quicker. Again, they were only 4, 5, 6 games in the season, but just that pressing intensity again. Falkirk's have a bigger pitch than we're used to playing on. So, frustrating. It's just them little things that you give teams like Falkirk that, and you're always got to struggle. I do feel it's 2 preventable goals. I can you could say every goal preventable, but. You know, losing goals in its second, third balls or crosses coming in your box, that's your bread and butter. You know, it's something that we said last week against Alloa, we were quite happy for them to put the ball into Salmon because we felt that we were good aerially. And again, they've won the first header for the corner for their second goal. Wehenna won it, and again, a ball in the box for their first goal that boy scored. It's disappointing.
And if he gets what the 9 of those again the rest of the season, the fans behind the goal will probably catch most of them, because as I said, I think he's going to hit one like that again the rest of the season. I could be corrected by the end of the season again. I don't know, but just going by his goal record overall, I think it's a collector's item. I believe you'd call it.
I look forward to Paul Dixon putting in a rasper from 30 yards this week coming.
So after that, obviously 2-0 down it, then that's when they, for some reason, like we said before, I think it was a Stirling game, Winsworth kind of 3-0 down, we started playing. Jordan Brown came on, he scored virtually the last kick of the kick of the game. As you mentioned, there was 4 shots on target. 3 of those were quite late on as well, 37% of the possession overall as well. So again, okay, we're 2-0 down and we're still sort of plugging away, but it takes us to be 2-0 down before we can actually get going.
I think even at 2-0 down, I think the minimum you expect is still to be plugging away and try to get something for the game. Stranger things have happened in fact by being, you know, 2-0 down going in the 90th minute. We've seen so many times before that teams can somehow get 2 goals out of it, but you just wonder if Jordan's goal been 5 minutes earlier might have been a grandstand finish, might have just put a little bit of pressure on Falkirk. As I said earlier on, they had a terrible end to the season last year, and you just wonder whether doubts start creeping in front of them. Home fans, You never know, but it was a good goal from our point of view for that one. Again, it's a simple ball one forward. Their defender isn't cleared it properly. Jordan's teammate, he's let it bounce and then across the keeper, he put it away. Quite easy for a player that's maybe naturally a goal scorer to put it wide or, you know, blaze it right in the keeper's hands. But no, it was a good finish by Jordan.
Yeah, it was a tidy finish, and it'll give him a bit of confidence as well. And again, it just gives the manager that kind of problem of, well, if he's coming off the bench and can score, I'm asking him how to do a job, he's doing it, so then does he kind of look to play him or start him for the next game, which is obviously good because you want kind of, as we've said before, we want to see goals kind of spread out along the team rather than just maybe one or two.
Yeah, we can't rely on the same guys to score goals all the time. We need other guys chipping in. As you said, if Jordan's got to come off the bench and score a few goals over the course of the season, it just gives Jim that bit of a headache where he maybe thinks, oh, I'll need to start Jordan in games. And then, again, it gets you that question if players like Sir Lyle Conlon and Hamish Ritchie are not playing to their high standards that they've set, then they could find themselves out of the team. So I think it's a good problem to have. In the last couple of years, Jim's problems have been through injuries and suspension. So if we can get a season where it's trying to get everybody in the squad who's playing well, then it's a good headache.
It's probably not the kind of performance that we'll sort of, you know, see where we're at for in terms of the rest of the season. I think there's a better performance there as well. I do think as well that possibly there's a better Falkirk performance as well. I don't think that was them at their best either. So it'll be interesting to see for both teams how the season progresses.
I'll be interested to see where the teams are in their form when we meet again. You know, in 8-9 weeks' time, I do think Falkirk will be, you know, there or thereabouts for winning the title. I think they've got to be a Falkirk club the size of that. They can't really find League One too often, like, as long as what they kind of want to be. So they've got to go up, I feel. And the players that they've got in suggest that they're making progress for that. So again, like I said, I'll be interested to see where we're at when we're the reverse fixture at Ballymore and seeing how the form of the clubs are.
It was a significant game for one man in the Peterhead lineup. It was Simon Ferry's 400th career game. Just want to get kind of a touch on him momentarily. 400 is obviously a great milestone for anybody. Still relatively youngish to still be playing. But what's your kind of thoughts on him overall and him still playing?
If we're a far weaker team without him, we can go back probably 18 months ago and you'll hear us saying that. But just want to pick up something you said in your commentary last week in the Hull game, that the players that we've got, sometimes Simon Ferry goes under the radar in terms of how much work he actually does. It's simple things like screening the back four, making sure he's in the right position to drag maybe a midfielder out to allow another player to step forward or drop deeper, collect the ball and start an attack. It's those little things that you maybe didn't appreciate. I think as Simon's gone on in years, he's realised that he maybe not the best technical player, he maybe not the best gifted in the world with pace, but he comes away, he's good at, and he does it really well. And I think his leadership on the park is getting better as well. We've seen that with his training sessions he's putting on. I think the guys that we've spoken to, you know, they've said that they've really enjoyed it. So I think we're a much weaker team without him, that leadership. I honestly, it kind of go under the radar how well he does.
Does it surprise you, when you talk about his leadership, did it surprise you that for the first game against Hearts, Conroy was the captain and not Ferry in absence of Scott Brown?
No. I think, given the captaincy of Ryan Conroy, it's more of, I think when you've got the captain's armband, it gives that player that little bit of a stride in his step, that, you know, a bit of confidence. Whether Simon's got the captain's armband or not, I think he's still going to give you the same level of performance. I think Simon's the type of player that you need to give him the armband to say, oh, look, I'm captain today, I'll give a slightly better performance. I think we've got that leader. You know, a lot of people are saying that when the captaincy season came up about 18 months ago, there were some folk who were surprised it was Scott Brown because Simon Ferry was at the club. But again, as I said, Simon will give you that commitment and performance week in, week out, whether he's got the captain's armband or not.
And the good thing about Simon as well is he's got a commitment to the club as well, as you mentioned, he does his coaching, but he does so much in the background as well that a lot of people don't know as well, and he kind of, he does it without looking for the recognition as well, which is a good thing. He kind of goes about his business. He's got a great relationship with Jim and his coaching staff. And I think that there's a trust there as well that Jim can allow him to go and do, you know, the coaching side of things and just trust him to go and do that kind of things, even though it's maybe stuff that Jim maybe doesn't know or has done before.
Yeah, I think Simon's brought that sort of modern approach to training that maybe David Hick and Jim weren't really look into that much. He's bringing something different to it. And I think his game, you know, he's a vastly experienced player, he's had 400 career appearances, but I think even by him doing training drills, you've seen a slightly better performance in him, whether it be his position or whether it's, you know, just doing the right things or the right pass. It maybe last season or the season before, you'd have thought he might have chosen the wrong one there. But again, you cannot underestimate the work he does behind the scenes as well. I came from the outside looking at the club and go, Simon Ferry's basically running Peter E because he's got his the media stuff with him. But Furphy, he is down to earth when we've spoken to him. Yeah, he's got the leery personality, which you'd expect, but you know, running about the club, he's a down to earth guy, and I think that rubs off the work he does with the players. And as you said, he's got that trust and respect for the coaches and the board above to allow him to do this sort of stuff.
Yeah, so quite an awesome for him. So we wish him every success going forward, and maybe hit the next milestone of 450. So, nor ordinarily at this kind of time, we would hear from a couple of players and hear from Jim with their thoughts after the game. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen this week. So we'll just have to plough on to the next game, which is Montrose on Saturday. We did touch on the Colts game against Dundee already last week. It's now going to be on the Wednesday, so we'll just move straight on to the Montrose game on Saturday in the league. Again, another tough one away from home. Again, it's a place where we seem to kind of struggle to get points recently.
Yeah, form recently down there hasn't been great. But I think if you were ever looking for a positive to take from it, would be the Montrose-Clyde game on Saturday. Clyde were 2-0 down with, I think, 5 minutes to go. They get a goal back, get Manson off, and then get another goal and get something for the game. So, with all due respect, if Clyde can get something for the game, being 2-0 doing, I certainly think it's a game we've got. Like I said last week going to the Falkirk game, didn't I fear only they go with that attacking intent, you know, and obviously try and get the 3 points. It's a difficult place to go, but I certainly think we've got the players and the team that can get the result.
Before we start touching on more of that, I just want to get your kind of thoughts on the results for last weekend, because already the league is upside down in terms of far we thought maybe folk would be. I mean, Dumbarton up at the top, nobody saw that one coming.
No, I think, like I said a couple of weeks ago, if you look at the bookies, I think they've just sort of gone and past seasons in the division, they've just sort of plucked boards out the air. I didn't think it was going to be as easy as for it is. And again, some teams, you maybe look at it, and if they've got a defeat and a draw after two games, that are maybe expected to be up there challenging, that, you know, they're maybe starting to get a wee bit worried already. Because it's, you're basically, what, four teams through the playoffs, one going up, and you're trying to get potentially six teams into it. It doesn't go, so everybody's looking for a good start. It's makes for an interesting division, as you said. It's a wee bit topsy-turvy at the moment, but I'm sure once everybody's played each other once, it'll sort of even itself out.
And nobody's won 2 from 2 either, which is quite significant. Nobody's gotten the maximum points after the two games, which kind of just show you just how tight this league is going to be.
Well, we've said before, it's a division where anybody can beat anybody, and although there's stronger teams than others, probably Montrose Clyde's at a prime example. They're 2-0 up with 5 minutes to go. You'd probably look at it and go, it's at Montrose one. Even with a goal back and a man down, you think, oh, well, that's a chance gone, but yet they've still managed to get something for the game. You just look back at the end of the season, an extra point for Clyde and two missing for Montrose. It really is that tight towards the end of the season. It could have a big impact.
Yeah, they've started with a 3-0 away from home at Airdrie, which is quite a big win for them. And then, as you said, the 2-2, 87 minutes on the clock, they were 2-0 up against Clyde at home. And then you'd have thought, well, that's it. That's a win, or another win for them. But, as I said, they just kind of, maybe that lapse of concentration, thinking maybe it was kind of Clyde. But it does show you that there is a potential for, if we do kind of If they do allow us in, we should take that opportunity.
Yeah, that's why, just touching back quickly, the Falkirk game we just played, you wonder if Jordan's goal had come 5 minutes earlier. Again, it sits up by a grandstand finish, which you think happened in Montrose, and we just got slightly complacent, they've allowed him back in for one. Probably even more complacent when they get a man sent off, thinking, well, we're 2-1 up, but at home, we're playing against 10 men. But sometimes that's the worst sort of sides we were playing, they've got something to prove. And obviously, Clyde got sent for the game. But German Montrose, for the outside point of view, you maybe think, well, you're playing Airdrie, you've played Clyde 4 points, maybe not the worst sort of set of results, but the way it's happened, they'll be disappointed, and they've got something to prove on Saturday, just like we should have as well.
Just getting back to some of the results, the last five at Montrose has ended 3-2 to Montrose, 4-3 Montrose, 4-3 Montrose, 3-2 Montrose, and 6-2 Peterhead. So I'd expect there to be goals again for this one.
That's a stick on 0-0 for Saturday. But if I remember correctly, one of them games had about four goal of the season contenders in one game, one of the 4-3s.
Yeah.
Doing there. I think Scott Brown and Alan Cook for us were the highlight goals for us. But yeah, like I said, it's a tricky place. I always feel if you can get your nose in front and get the first goal, that you fancy yourself to get something. But as you've just read out there, there's plenty of goals in this fixture doing at Lynx Park. Never quite the same at Balmoor for some reason.
It's usually nil nils or 1-1s or a 1-0 or something like that. Yeah, for some reason, I don't know what it is when we go down there, it produces goals. But we're having the one down there since 2017, so we need to rectify that.
Yeah, again, you say 2017, and it's the best part of 4 years. So, yeah, we need to try and change that record and come up the road. I think a point, would a point be a good result? I don't know. I mean, like I said, it's early on in the season. Everybody's trying to suss teams out. But given the fact they would be in Alloa, okay, performance and the result wasn't great against Falkirk. Depends how the game goes, but you know, you'd be looking to come away with 3 points at least.
Is this a game that's set up for Russell McLean to perform?
I'm sure he'd love to go back to Lynx Park and prove a point. I feel he's got much to prove, but it's always good for a player scoring against our former team. But I'm sure he'll be looking forward to the game, and you know, if he can get a goal to his name as well, he'll be thoroughly pleased.
Well, if he can score two goals against us for his playing for Montrose in one game, surely he can turn the favour round and eat the other way as well.
Yeah, if he can score two and we can keep it tight at the back, then I'm sure we'll get a favourable result. But can't just rely on Russell, as we've said numerous times. Everybody's got to chip in. You're looking for guys to help get the goals from as well.
Yeah, I think it's Montrose is one of that kind of teams that you would expect to be in and around the playoffs, but without Rusty's goals this season. I know they've still got Graham Webster, who will give you a goal or two, and always seems to score against Peterhead as well. They'll still be dangerous, but I just think maybe this is going to be the kind of year that they'll maybe just slip away slightly.
Yeah, I think if I was writing down the league table or like predictions, how you think of the season, Montrose would probably be fifth or sixth. It's just a case of how well we've seen. Was it last season? Season before, they didn't win any of their opening seven games, or one draw in seven, or one win out of the nine, and then they've got a tremendous run together and found themselves, you know, in the playoffs. So they are a dangerous side. It's one we've got to watch out for. But as you just said, Russell McLean, they didn't have that goal scorer, natural finisher up top. Webster will get you a few, as you've rightly pointed out. But certainly, I think we should be looking to get 3 points in this game, and that would be a great result.
So no cause for alarm bells just yet, then?
No, absolutely not. It's only two games in. I mean, Falkirk would have been one of them games. If you get a point for it, you're pleased. Everybody would have been thinking we're going to get beat at Falkirk Stadium anyway. So, had we lost to Alloa, lost to Falkirk, and then you're coming up against potentially a Montrose team that had won 2-for-2, all lifts and buts and hypothetical, but then you're maybe starting to get a little bit concerned. But no, we'll see how the league table is after 9 games, and then you assess it from there.
And hopefully that Cove's still down below, so that would be good. Eh?
Hopefully they're doing there after 36 games, and then we've had a really good season.
Oh, yeah, that would be a bookie buster if they were down the bottom there. Right, so that's it. Brief one for us this week, then.
Yeah, slightly shorter, but nonetheless very enjoyable. It's always good to, even after a defeat, you're trying to get too low, same with the wins, you're trying to get too high, but yeah, we're still thinking about a positive season.
Yep, so that'll do us for this week then. I hope you've enjoyed it. As I said, slightly shorter than normal, but nonetheless, hopefully we still get the points across. As always, I should say, my thanks go to Martin for joining me. We'll be back again next week. So until then, on behalf of Martin Smith and myself, Colin Byers, thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll see you all very soon.